Hey, they're beautiful. You know what this is. Today's Monday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for Get to Know Night, that monthly show where you ask me questions and I give you answers to the best of my ability. As always, we have so many questions, so let's just jump right into it, shall we? The first question I have is from Anonymous. Anonymous asks, in both movies and books, are you a big fan of plot twists and cliffhangers? They also ask, what color best describes you and your personality? In a previous audio, you talked about travel. What is the worst airport travel experience? And what do you prefer to do while you eat? Do you scroll? Do you watch a show or something? Happy Monday, and thank you for answering. Also, pretty please consider making a podcast. I feel like this is the closest you're going to get to me making a podcast. Maybe one day, when I have more time, I can sit down and maybe make a podcast. I've had a lot of requests for that. I don't know. We'll see. Let's start from the beginning. Plot twists and cliffhangers. I don't know if I love a cliffhanger. I feel like cliffhangers are a holdover from when, you know, you had things being serialized in a different way. Like, I don't know. I feel like nowadays cliffhangers as a trope isn't the best. I like a good plot twist, but it has to be motivated. It can't be subvertive to be subvertive, you know? Like, if you're just doing a plot twist because you're, like, I don't know, like, you're worried that the audience might got it, like, they got ahead of you or something, and so you're like, oh, shit, I gotta do a plot twist. I think those are usually not great. I think when you have a plot twist that's been foreshadowed and, like, you put all the groundwork for it, and then you're able to have the twist happen, and it's, like, retroactively feels good, then I think those are the best kind. But, like, I don't know. I think sometimes, especially in modern movies, they're more likely to have a twist to subvert your expectations more than it is motivated, or, like, you know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense. I feel like I'm getting very technical, but yeah. I'm a fan of plot twists. I think they're good. I think they can be very good. I like to have them, but I feel like they have to be motivated. You got to put in, like, you have to have, like, a Chekhov's gun or some foreshadowing or something. Because if you have it just because you're afraid the audience is ahead of you, then that's not a good enough reason, in my opinion. Color that best describes my personality. I don't know. My heart immediately goes, like, purple or black. And I couldn't tell you why. But I feel like purple or black. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm feeling purple or black. One of the two. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer for it, but I have. I got the colors, but I don't know why. Why do they call to me? I don't know. They just do. In a previous audio, you talked a lot about travel. What's your worst airport experience? Oh man. I have so many. So airports that I don't like, I don't like any big hub airports. I don't like LAX. I don't like JFK. I don't like MIA. I don't like Dallas Fort Worth. I don't like O'Hare. I do like Minneapolis as a great airport. Like, low key, it's wonderful. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like big, I used to like big hub airports a lot more when I was younger, but I feel like now, give me a good regional airport. Let me fly into, you know, John Wayne instead of LAX, or, like, I don't know, I'm so down to fly into, like, something regional. But worst, I think my worst experience, I didn't even list it, Atlanta. I don't know what year it was, but I was flying through Atlanta, and I don't know if it was an entire airport or just where my connection was or whatever, but I was, like, connecting, and literally that section of the airport, like, the septic had backed up or something, and it was terrible. Like, everyone was miserable. It smelled terrible. I was there for, like, 4 hours. I went crazy. I was, like, I waited in a different terminal, but, yeah, it was horrible. I was, like, oh, man, this sucks. And I actively avoided flying through Atlanta for, like, at least a year after that. I was, like, I routed crazy other routes to just avoid Atlanta. But yeah, that's probably, is that my worst travel experience? It's not my worst travel experience, but that was definitely a bad one. That was memorable. I'm trying to think, like, what's the worst? I think the worst travel experience is just when I've been stuck on planes for, like, dumb amount of time. Like, I've waited, like, 3-4 hours to deplane sometimes. especially recently, like this, the last 2 years has been really bad when it comes to like clearance to take off, and then like sometimes finding your gate and just having to wait, and it's like you're just sitting on the plane, you've landed, and you're just there for like hours, and you're like, why? I just want to get off this fucking plane. I think those are definitely the worst. I would take Atlanta over being stuck on a plane for hours. I hate being there and then just being stuck on the plane. I think that's just the absolute worst. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like air travel has been pretty rough the last 2 years. If I can, I will most likely prefer to drive than fly. At this point, that's kind of where I'm at. Let's see. And the last one was, what do you prefer to do while eating? Do you scroll or do you watch a show? I watch a show. I don't really scroll. I know people are like, don't you have TikTok? I've tried. I don't know. I'm not like, I'm notoriously bad at socials. Like, I'm just not on social media. The most social media I engage with is literally here. But yeah, I usually watch a show. What have I been watching recently? I've been watching Jetsons while I've been eating. I think that's the last thing. Oh, Love Island. Love Island. I've been watching the new season of Love Island, which has been pretty good. Both US and UK. But yeah. Thank you so much for the question, Anonymous. I really, really, really appreciate it. Let's see. Aries asks, hey Kay, I just got on your Patreon. Oh, thank you. And I just wanted to say thank you for the audios. Of course. I deal with severe anxiety, and your audios and voice help me to bring it back down. They help on nights where I'm feeling alone and really rough. So thank you. Oh, I'm so glad. I mean, that's literally why I do what I do. I'm glad. I'm glad in the moments where you feel lonely, if you feel less alone, because that's like the whole point. Very basic question. What's your favorite color combination? I feel like I just said that. I guess black and purple for sure. Green and black, I think, looks really good together. I don't know. I think I look really good in reds, so I'm gonna say red. But yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of colors. I think universally I look really good in black, so I'm gonna say black for almost everything. But yeah, either green, red, or purple for an accent color. But yeah, so. Yeah. Oh, also, I listened to your February Get to Know Night, and you mentioned capybaras. Yeah, I do love capybaras. I'm obsessed with them. Aw. Here's a little dumb fact. In the 16th century, the Vatican classified capybaras as fish so they could eat them during Lent. Oh, no. I hope they went back and changed that. Don't eat capybaras. They're so cute. There's no reason to eat them. thank you so much for the question, Aries. I really, really, really appreciate it. Let's see. Cappy asks, hey Kay. That's so funny, capybaras, Cappy. I was just wondering, are you in STEM? Because the way you talk is, about things like science suggests it. I mean, I think men in STEM are super hot. Anyway, I hope you're having a great day. Am I in STEM? I mean, I think I'm STEM adjacent. My master's is in something that's kind of STEM, but not really STEM, in my opinion. But yeah, I don't know. I've done a lot of things that are like touching on STEM, but not necessarily. It's not my background. I mean, I guess outside the fact that I was supposed to, at some point, I was supposed to be a doctor, but that just, yeah, I was never going to be the thing I ended up doing. It just, I don't know. I like helping people. I love that. That's a part of medicine that I really like. I love caring for people. But I think, I'm just too averse to needles to be a good doctor. I think that's the biggest issue. If I didn't have such an aversion to needles and sticking people, I probably would have been a doctor. But that was just never going to be me. But yeah, I don't know. I appreciate it. That's very flattering. I wish I was cool enough to be fully in STEM. But I'm neither cool enough or smart enough to be fully in STEM. So I just live at the periphery and do STEM adjacent stuff. Thank you so much for the question, Cappy. I really, really, really appreciate it. Let's see. Anonymous asks, do you live somewhere where it snows, given all the mentions of snow during your winter audios? No, I don't. I wish I did. I was very fortunate to be somewhere that snowed this winter. I've been very much like transient. Like, I haven't been in one place for very long, at least the last year. But it was really nice because over Christmas and over, like, I think from maybe late October to like late January, I was somewhere where it was snowing the entire time, and I loved it. I think, I don't know, I'm such a winter. I love the snow. I love the cold. Like, if it's freezing, I'm so happy. But I'm like rarely ever in places where it's that cold. For some reason, I end up in tropical climates. But yeah, this last winter I was in somewhere that snowed, and I was loving it. I was so happy. I was outside all the time. I was like, oh man, I was so stoked. Sadly, it wasn't a place where I could snowboard or ski, so that was a little bit of a bummer. But the snow was cool, and I did build a snowman, and I did build a snow fort, and I did all the snow things. I shoveled the driveway. It was so much fun. I loved it. I was literally like in heaven. But yeah. Hopefully one day I'll be living somewhere where it snows and also there's like skiing close by. That would be really cool. So both those things would make me very happy. But yeah. Thank you for the question, Anonymous. I really, really, really appreciate it. Let's see. Thursday Child asks, I'm writing a romantic fan fiction and the male love interest is based on you. My question is, would it offend you if someone used your likeness for a book? Also, would you want credit or royalties? I can pay you handsomely with love if so. Well, first, I'm really flattered because that's incredibly flattering that you're basing your protagonist or love interest on me in your book. So one, thank you very much. That's deep. That's deeply flattering. Do I want royalties or credits? No, I'm good. You can, I don't need credit. I don't need royalties. It's your book. You write how you feel. Like, honestly, I'm just really, no, that's super cool that I inspired you in that way. That is that's like really high praise. But yeah, I hope your book goes well. Good luck in writing it. Like, it's such an undertaking writing a book. So I'm really proud of you for starting and doing all that kind of stuff, because it's not an easy task. And I don't know, more people should write, like, even if it's fanfic, even if it's like anything, like, write whatever you want. I think more people should be writing. I think it's so great. So yeah, thank you so much, Thursday Child. I really, really, really appreciate it. Let's see. Walk 'em Like a Dog asks, what makes you like dogs so much? I mean, how do you not like dogs? I don't know. Dogs are amazing. I feel like I'm inherently biased because I worked for years. Like, I don't even know how many years. Like at least 6 or 7 years I worked doing dog rescue stuff. So like, I think for me intrinsically, I've always been really, 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 I don't know, attached to dogs. I think it also comes from the fact that when I was a kid, I wanted a dog more than anything. And my parents were like very hesitant. So the closest I could do was to like work at rescues, and like that was my way of having a dog until I got a dog eventually. So yeah, I have such an affinity with dogs. Like, I've just been so, like, I love animals in general. Like, I don't know how can you not. I think it's like wonderful to connect with an animal, like a horse or a dog, even cats. Like, I love all animals. But I've just been in positions where I've like taken care of, like, I don't know, there's just something about taking care of like a dog that's been abandoned, or like caring for a rescue, that's just like so rewarding in such a way, you know, like watching someone who at one point in time was like so afraid to be trusting and to like allow human contact, all of a sudden to be like, now I'm willing to be cuddled, and like, I don't know, it's wonderful. So I think that's where my soft spot comes from. It's just, especially with pit bulls. I did so much rescue with pit bulls. I felt so bad. Like, so many pit bulls we rescued from dogfighting rings and from just, like, horrific situations. And they were so traumatized when they came in. And then, you know, they'd get rehabilitated and we watch them get adopted. And it's just, like, so lovely. And I don't know. I have such a soft spot for dogs. I will always have a soft spot for dogs. I love dogs. I think the greatest thing that I'm, like, sad about in my life right now is that I just can't have a dog. That I'm just not in one place long enough to have a dog, because if I have a dog, it feels like it'd be kind of cruel, because I'd be moving around so much and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. For the dog's sake, I don't have a dog, but I want a dog so badly. And it's been long enough since my dog passed away that I'm like somewhat healed enough to be like, maybe I can love another dog again. That's the thing, is like when a dog passes or when your pet passes, it's so hard to like want another pet. You're just like, no, I'm good. I'm gonna not have a pet for a little while because I just need to like, yeah. So, but I think I'm in a place now where I'm like, yeah, I could have another dog. Whereas like 2 years ago, there's no way. 2 years ago, there's no way I could have had another dog. So, yeah. Thank you so much for the question, Anonymous. I really, 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 really appreciate it. Let's see. Samantha asks, hey, Kay, please tell me the truth. Are there men out there that actually exist that are like you, or am I wishing for an idealized version that just isn't real? I mean, Samantha, I would say that it is real, and there are men like me that exist, because I exist, and I know other guys that are like me. I'm friends with them. So, I don't know. I think it is real, and it exists. I think the question is really, like, how do you find them? It's the harder one. Because I feel like most men who are like, of a caliber that you probably want to date are in two boxes. They're either taken or they're just, like, not accessible. So I think that that's, like, the hard part is finding them. But if you can find them, then, yeah, they exist. It's just the challenge is finding them, so... Thank you so much for the question, Samantha. I really, really, really appreciate it. Let's see. Anonymous asks, hey, Kay. I don't know if you know or not, but Love Island US and UK is airing right now. Are you watching it? Also, do you have a favorite between the two series? Yes, I am watching it. So first, yes, I'm watching both. I'm caught up on both, I believe. I think I am. And favorite between the two. I think I like UK more than US. Yeah, I think on the whole, I think I've enjoyed UK more than US. Australia is also quite good. I also enjoy Australia quite a bit. But yeah, I don't know. I think my preference would be UK and then Australia, then US. I think US is my least favorite of all the Love Islands. But yeah, no, it's been good so far. I've enjoyed it thus far. So, yeah. Thank you so much for the question, Anonymous. I really, really, really appreciate it. Let's see. Anonymous asks, hey, Knight, NBA finals are happening. Are you big into the NBA? If so, what's your favorite team? Also, who do you want to win in the finals? The finals are, I think, what? It's like Knicks and Spurs? I'm so bad with sports right now. I'm so out of the loop when it comes to sports. Yeah, I've been really out of it when it comes to like, yeah, any kind of sport, like football. I just haven't been paying attention. But yeah, I mean, I'm aware the finals are happening. I might watch some of it. Who do I want to win though? I guess the Knicks are up two games, right? I mean, I don't know. I feel like I have to support New York. I feel like I have to support the Knicks. I like San Antonio, don't get me wrong. I like the Spurs, but I don't know. I feel like the Knicks have been terrible for so long. I feel like they deserve to win. Like, San Antonio will be back. I don't know if the Knicks are going to be back again. I'm going to say the Knicks. I know I'm going to upset some people. I'm going to say Knicks. And favorite NBA team? As a kid, I was a Laker. As a kid, I was always a Laker. That was always been my team growing up. I was a big Magic fan. I followed Shaquille O'Neal a lot. I liked Shaquille O'Neal when I was a kid. So it was like Magic, Heat, Lakers. So like those were like my big three teams. Which is so funny because the Heat, I think, are like, I don't know now, like, who do I root for in a vacuum? Either Magic or Heat are probably the two teams that I'm always going to root for. Yeah, Florida teams, you know? So, yeah. What did you expect? But yeah, so Magic or Heat are my teams, I'd have to say. Thank you so much for the question, Anonymous. I really, 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 really appreciate it. All right, this is going to be the last question. Last question is from Billa. Billa asks, I have a couple questions about dating. Answer them if you want. Okay. Let me see. The first question is, do you think you could take it take part in a dating experiment like Love is Blind, or do you think the whole idea is utter bullshit? I don't know. I feel like calling it an experiment is disingenuous. It's not an experiment. Love is Blind is not an experiment. It's a reality TV show that's been produced. Like, I don't know. If it was really an experiment, if it was really interested about people meeting each other and falling in love and all that kind of stuff, then I'd be like, oh yeah, for sure. But like, the show isn't. The show is interested first and foremost in like drama and like creating narratives before it cares about genuinely trying to get people to fall in love. And I also think that a lot of people who go on those shows are chasing clout more than they're chasing relationships, typically. That's not like universally true, but I think that's becoming more overwhelmingly true as it goes on. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think I would put any stock in like Love is Blind or Love Island or anything. Like I don't know. You really couldn't pay me. You couldn't pay me enough to go on to go on a dating show. Like, I don't know. I'm just not going to do it. I hate being on camera. I don't want to be on camera. Fuck that. Like, I don't know. I don't want to have to like perform and dance and like, I don't know. I'm so good on that. Yeah, if I wanted to do that, I'd go back into acting. So yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be on reality TV at all if it could be helped. But I think that's also a fact of, I just know too many reality TV producers, and like, if you see how the sausage is made, you're just like, oh man, it makes it hard to like engage with it in like a way that's like, oh yeah, this is real. Like you just know how much someone's finger off camera is on the scale and how much they're like really affecting what you're seeing and like how they're shaping narratives in a way that's not really in the benefit of the people that you're seeing on camera. Like, a reality TV producer's job is to become your best friend and then convince you to make bad decisions, which I think is just like, it's hard. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think I could do a reality TV show. The second question is, what attribute are your favorite in people that you date and is physically more important than personality? And is physicality more important than personality? I mean, I think kindness is really the thing I look for more than anything. I think, like, do you have a good heart? You know, like, do you have empathy? Are you kind? Are you like, I don't know. I think that's such a big thing that I don't think people value as much as they should. But I think kindness is like, it is the commodity within people that is like the most valuable. Like your capacity for love and kindness and empathy and all that kind of stuff. It's like, that's so critical. I think that supersedes everything else. Like if you don't have a good heart, then it's like, what are we building off of, you know? So for me, I think that's like, that's really everything for me. Like how, like, where's your heart, you know? That matters more, so much more than physicality. 'Cause that's like forever, you know? So, yeah. What is a must have in a relationship for you personally? And what has to happen for relationship to work? Date nights, communication through arguments, trust. I mean, those are all great things. Communication through arguments, trust. Those are all critical. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the ground floor for a relationship is safety, trust, and communication. Like, if you have all three of those things, if you feel safe together, if you trust each other, and if you can communicate well, that is a strong foundation. You can build a house on that. You can build whatever you want. So, I think that those are the non-negotiables that exist before we even start thinking about date night and like anything past that point. I think it's like, do we trust each other? Can we communicate with each other? And do we feel safe with each other? Do we make the other feel safe? Because I don't know, I think a lot of what a relationship is this reprieve from this wider world, you know? It's like a collapsing down into just a couple, into a pairing, and in that pairing there's like the safety and security, and like it's like, I don't know, it's like this little island that we get to run away to that's like doesn't get to interact with the rest of the world. Like, we are our own thing. So yeah, I don't know, I think those are the core building blocks of that location, of that space, of that, yeah, that presence that I think builds into something really meaningful. But yeah, I feel like I answered that. Let's see. Have you ever gone through a breakup that's left you heartbroken? Have you ever gotten over it? Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's been a single breakup where I wasn't heartbroken. I don't think I've ever broken up with someone and not been heartbroken. I think I'm, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you couldn't be heartbroken. I mean, unless it's like a situation which, but even in that, yeah, you're still heartbroken. Even then, you're still heartbroken. I don't know. I feel like I'm heartbroken after every relationship. Yeah. Have I gotten over it? Of course, you have to get over it. Like, you have to at some point pick yourself up and pick up the pieces and, you know, as hard as it is, but at some point you're gonna have to do that. But yeah, I mean, you're gonna be heartbroken. Love, I mean, I think that's the duality of love. Is love is beautiful and it's wonderful and it's like this amazing thing, but at some level it's also temporary. It's at like at some intrinsic point it's gonna be temporary. Like everything is. Like you don't get to hold on to everything forever. You only get these small moments, these bits of time with everything, with anything. And you have to savor it. You have to savor those bits of time. You have to savor the moments. Because yeah, you nothing like you don't have everything forever. And sometimes you have to let people go, and sometimes people have to let you go, and sometimes like life pulls people away and pulls them apart, and like it's the ebb and flow of existence, and you're just moving through it. And yeah, I mean, it hurts and it's painful and it sucks. But yeah, I mean, it's just part of, it's part of a story. It's part of a larger journey, and you just gotta be, I don't know, you just gotta be present in it. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. When I was younger, I would linger on heartbreak for forever. I remember I was like, there's been breakups where I've been heartbroken for years, where it's like 2 years, and I'm just like, nope, I'm just never gonna date again. I don't want to date again. I don't want to feel this again. Like it hurts too bad, you know? Yeah. How old were you when you had your first heartbreak? I don't know. Young, very young. I don't even know. Like, I feel like my first heartbreak was my first crush. Like, I don't know. I was like in first grade, maybe. No, I was younger. I was like in kindergarten, and I remember there was this girl in my kindergarten class. I think she was in first grade. She was like in first grade. I don't know. She was like a year older than me. And I remember she had these like really pretty dresses on every single day. She had like the prettiest dresses on, and every single day, all like, I didn't give a fuck about school, or I mean, I was in kindergarten, but like I didn't give a fuck about anything else. All I wanted to do was talk to her. All I wanted to do was talk to her. I was like, that was the only thing I wanted to do all day was talk to her, and I was too afraid every single day. And like, this is like this is my entire kindergarten. And then I moved away, and I remember moving wasn't, I wasn't sad about, like, I was sad about the house, I was sad about moving and all that kind of stuff, but I was like really bummed because I was like, fuck, I didn't talk to her. I didn't talk to her. I spent all this time and I just didn't talk to her. And I was like so devastated. I was so sad that I just didn't talk to her. I was like, oh man, I really wanted to talk to her. I should have talked to her. And then like, yeah, it like I would say that was like my first, like, it wasn't like real heartbreak, but as a kid, I was like devastated. I was so devastated. But like in a real sense, real heartbreak. I don't know, like, because you said first was my first real heartbreak. I mean, then that might be my first real heartbreak. I guess the other time, maybe, oh man, when I was like in fifth grade, I kissed a girl on a school trip, and I was it my first? I don't know if it was like my first kiss, but it was like a very early kiss. It was the first kiss that I think meant something to me. And then she kissed another boy, and I was so sad. I was so sad. It like ruined the trip for me. I was like, yeah, I was devastated for the rest of the trip. I was like beside myself. I was like, she kissed me, and then she kissed this other boy, and now I'm just like, yeah, I was just like, and in hindsight, like here I am, you know, so far removed from it. But like at the time, it felt like the world was ending. But like, you know, now you can look back and you can laugh and you can be like, oh, you were just a silly kid. But yeah, I don't know. It feels real when you're in it, and it is real. It is real when you're in it. But I think the more heartbreak you get, and the more life under your belt you start putting things in perspective and putting things in context. Not to say the heartbreak gets easier. It doesn't. Like, the matters of the heart never get easier. They're deeply complicated. I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting looking back and seeing the context for which these things that felt, you know, monumental, they felt calamitous. But in hindsight, you're just like, oh no, that you were fine. You're okay, buddy. You're fine. It's not as big of a deal as you thought it was. The first breakup that I think really took me out was my high school girlfriend. I think that one really took me out. Because we were supposed to go to the same college together, then we broke up, and then it was like a whole thing, and like, I didn't even want to go to college after that. I was just like, no, I don't want to do anything. I was like, I don't want to go to college for what? Like, for what? Why do I even want to go to college? Why do I even want to go to school? Like, why do I want to do things? That was a pretty devastating summer. I spent the entire summer painting and writing and not sleeping and drinking a lot and being on rooftops quite a bit, just sitting there listening to music, kicking my feet over the edge and like watching traffic. It was like a very getting yelled at by security guards and having to run away because they're like, get off the roof, you crazy kid. that I think is that one should officially count as my first real heartbreak, because that was like a real relationship, one that I was like very invested in, and I was like, oh yeah, it's me and her forever. Like, this is end game. Like, we're getting married, we're gonna have kids, and this is my future. And then it like collapsed, and I think that's what destroyed me, was like this perceived future that I thought I was gonna have. I was just like, oh, now what? Like, now what am I living for? Now what am I fighting for? And all that kind of stuff. I don't know what you'd count as my first heartbreak. I gave you three. Those I think are all three valid answers. Any of them could be equally as valid as the last. It's all perspective, it's all relative. But yeah. Thank you so much for the question, Bella. All the questions, I think they were lovely. Thank you. And with that, after all that rambling, that brings us to the end of Get to Know Night. If you have a question you'd like for me to answer, feel free. There should be a link down below in the doobly-doo where you can ask me whatever Say For a question you like. Anyway, I hope you have a great, great, great rest of your day. Hoping your Monday isn't too bad. I'll talk to you later, okay? Bye now, beautiful.